First John chapter 1 for our continuation in this epistle. First John chapter 1, I'd like to begin reading in verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate, which is advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Amen. Our Father, we thank you so much today for being a great and wonderful God. What a privilege it is for us to serve you today. Thank you for your blessed word that you've given us, that we have as the eternal word of God that we can live by. It becomes a guide to our life. It tells us about the great God that we serve and about the Son who died for our sins that we could have fellowship with him. I pray tonight you'd bless our time together. Thank you for this wonderful epistle that tells us about the wonderful fellowship and the joy and how to walk in the light and how not to practice sin, how to be obedient. So many wonderful, wonderful things that we need in our lives. I pray tonight that you would bless the preaching of God's holy word. I pray you'll take me as your servant, cleanse me of any sin, empty me of self, fill me with thine Holy Spirit. Bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The first epistle of John, and of course John knew a lot about the Lord Jesus Christ. He walked with him for 3.5 years. He's the last of the disciples, the apostles, to die. He recorded the Gospel of John, the book of Revelation, in the 1st John, 2nd John, 3rd John. And he writes under the leading of the Holy Spirit to be able to remind us of something we should never forget, that we ought to be thankful for in order to make a difference in our lives. And that simply is, God has given us a revelation of himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. If I'm to know God, I must know him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And John says it's not enough just to know him in the parting of our sins, but he wants to know us in daily fellowship as we live in this Christian life. So he writes here to remind us of the importance of knowing that which is real. In other words, everybody is looking for some kind of satisfaction in life. I mean, we are so created that there is a desire to be fulfilled in our life. And the only one that can ever fulfill that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So John here reminds people that it's not about money, it's not about fame, it's not about all that you desire. It's not trying to find gratification for the flesh. It's in the revealed Word of God, the Word of life. Christ has been revealed. Now, He has been clearly revealed in these first four verses. He tells us that. John says He's been revealed. Now, this Christ, this Word of life, this reality for mankind, this life that God's given us must be experienced personally. In other words, I must begin by knowing Him as my personal Lord and Savior. Amen. There must come a point in my life where I must trust Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong with the revelation. The revelation is clear. John tells him that we felt Him, we talked with Him, we walked with Him, we saw Him. He's real, and he's trying to convince people of that. So this revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, this life, has been revealed. Now, it must be received by every individual if we're going to fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But beyond that, verse 3, it must be exemplified. He says, "We declare we unto you." He's declaring it to us. Once we have accepted what has been revealed, then it's our responsibility to declare it to someone else. We want to be telling them about Jesus Christ, showing them about Him in our lives. So it's to be shared with other people for the sole purpose that ye also may have fellowship with us. In other words, he's saying that which I have gained, the fellowship I have with the Lord through the salvation that I have, through walking with Him, I'm sharing that with you that you might have that which I have. And by the way, salvation ought to be so real to us that we want to share it with somebody else.
Amen.
You get something good and you find somebody that you love or care about, you want them to have it.
Amen.
And if we're not sharing it, then what we have must not be good to us, a good for us. John said it ought to be shared. And he says when you do it right, when you have this, he talks about the fact that your joy may be full. We want you to have this fullness of joy. Then he got into verse number 5, as we saw last time. He said, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him." So I want you to understand what I saw, what He told us, what was revealed to us. In other words, this is no mystery. This is not confusing. Here's what was revealed to us. Here's what must be seen. Here's what must be received. Here's what must be revealed. "And declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." So I don't want you to be confused. What I've experienced, what God gave to the world, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And then in verse 6, all the way down to chapter 2, verse number 4, he talks a little bit about the enemy that keeps us from the fullness of joy. The enemy that keeps us in fellowship. Not relationship. Aren't you glad that when Jesus died on the cross and you received Him as your Lord and Savior, we'll always have that relationship with Him. Nobody can ever take that away. But John says the fullness of joy comes not just with a relationship. The fullness of joy comes with a continual fellowship. And he says in order to have that, you must understand that God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. Therefore, if I'm walking in the light, I'm in fellowship with Him. If I'm walking in darkness, no matter what I think, what I say, I'm not in fellowship with Him. Why? There is no darkness in Him at all. So he takes a little bit and he reminds us of this thing that we all battle with in the Christian life. The success or the defeat of the Christian life of fellowship is how I deal with the enemy that's still there called sin. And he tells us in these verses all the way down to chapter 2, verse number 6, he talks about the fact that I can maintain this wonderful fellowship if I handle sin properly. And in these verses, he talks about three ways to deal with sin. You can't say it doesn't exist. If any man here says there is no sin in my life, you're already telling what you are. So he says, it's not a matter whether it's there. It's not a matter whether it's going to go away. Because as long as you're in the flesh, you are capable of sinning and do sin. So God is not saying, no, I've made it so that you can live a perfect life. But he says, I have made it so that you can live a victorious life. In other words, sin doesn't have to have dominion, doesn't have to control us. God says, I've made it so that you can have victory over that. He talks about three ways to we can deal with this enemy called sin. He mentions the fact that we can cover our sins, which some people do all the time. He mentions here in verse number 5 and 6 and verse 8, 10, and all the way down to chapter 2, verse number 4. Notice the phrase he begins with in verse number 6, if we say. Verse number 8, if we say. Verse number 10, if we say, chapter 2, verse number 4, he that saith. If we say something, he's saying, talking, along with that, if you're walking in the light, there's got to be some walking. In other words, if I say something, then my walk is going to back up my talk. And the Christian life is not the ability to say what the Word of God says. The Christian life is the ability to live and do what the Word of God says. If I say, if I say, if I say, four times he mentioned that the Christian life is more than talk, it also must be walk. And he says, our lives must back up our lips. We are children of the light. If we walk in the light, darkness has to go away. If we hold on to sin in our life, light's going away. So he talks about how to deal with this great enemy that we all face in life called sin. Now I want you to know quickly, mention quickly, as I mentioned this last week, sin is ever present in the world today, and sin desires to keep us from walking in the light and get us walking in darkness, because it breaks the fellowship with he who's been revealed to us. So he talks about the course of the sin. And notice how he deals with here. He first says in verse number 6, if we say, here's what he adds to that, that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, the verse simply says, if I say I'm walking in the light, which I have the ability to say, but if I don't do what I say, I've got to get in the habit of lying about it. Because I wouldn't want you to know that I'm walking in darkness when I'm telling you I'm walking in light. One of the things is certain about the old flesh. If you don't keep it in the light, you better train it how to lie. And by the way, you better be pretty good at it too. A good liar has to work real hard. Because you always got to remember what you lied about. And you got to keep it real, real straight. So if I say that I'm the kind of Christian that I talk about and tell folks about and what I commit to be, and on the side I'm the opposite, I got to start lying to you to protect what I said. That's the course. It happens when we stop walking in the light. Verse number 7 talks about the fact, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Did you know that walking in the light helps you stay out of darkness? Try it sometimes. Try this. Go into a dark room and turn on the light. I guarantee you, darkness will disappear. Try some. I know it's hard for you to believe that, but try it tonight. Go home to your house, find the darkest room in your house, and turn on the light. I guarantee you, darkness will disappear. That's what he's saying. You've got that old habit that you want to get rid of. Try walking in the light. And if you are not walking in the light, and you're around your brothers and sisters in the church and the preacher and everybody else, you've got to start lying. Now this is what the Bible says. This is what the Holy Ghost said, okay, when he penned this. And then it gets worse. He goes down to verse number 8. Once you start lying to others, and you got to, you know, if you say you're a good Christian, you got to go to church. Yeah. And by the way, just because you go to church doesn't mean you're a good Christian. Right. Right. A whole bunch of liars go to church. But you don't want to go to church and let anybody know that you're walking in darkness. So you lied to them already by pretending you're something that you're not. But then you get into church and the preaching and it all starts going and singing and everything, and then you got to remember to act like a Christian. So you go from lying to others to verse number 8. It says, if we say that we have no sin. Now, if you already start telling other people that you're walking in the light, you already tell them that you don't have sin. So you're already lying about it. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You hear me, Christian people who are walking in darkness, come to church and convince themselves there's nothing wrong with them. All the time. Because it's a pattern. It's a pattern. You get out of the light, then you start lying, all the other people, and then you get around church, all of a sudden you're sitting there, you look around, you see somebody else getting excited. You try to get excited with them. And so you convince yourself there's nothing wrong with you. And and by the way, I don't have time tonight, but if you were to read over in the 2 Samuel, chapter 11 and 12, you find a man after God's own heart did that.
Yes, he did.
David committed adultery, lied about it, murdered, and for 9 months convinced himself that he was King David and nothing wrong. Until Nathan shook his finger at him and said, "Thou art the man." And then you read Psalm 51, you see how he start confessing, which a lot of people have a problem doing. We'll get to that. So you start lying to other people, and the next step is you start lying to yourself. And then it gets worse. In verse number 10, it says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I go from lying to other people to lying to self. Then I start lying to God. Preaching and teaching never affect me. Even though the Holy Ghost had told me that I've got an issue. You ever seen people that you know need to change something? They convince themselves there's nothing wrong. And I've seen people who have issues and quick to find those same issues in somebody else and can never see them. By the way, whenever you can sit in a church service through all the preaching of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God can't convict you that you have a problem that you know you have, you're calling God a liar.
That's right.
You're telling the Holy Spirit, God, you shouldn't be pointing that out to me. That isn't true about me. And then the consequences. Once you start covering sin, Notice the consequences. Look in chapter 2, verse number 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, look what happened. I start covering my sin. I start lying to others by pretending to be something I'm not. Then I can sit around the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, and I tell myself there's nothing wrong with me. And then when even the Holy Spirit of God began to deal with me, I said, no, that's not applied to me. It applies to somebody else, and I'm calling God a liar. And then my character changed. I've gone from telling a lie to becoming a liar. See, I tell lies now because that's what I am. I'm a liar. And the consequences can be destructive in life. John says you can't walk in the light and walk in the darkness at the same time. If you walk in the darkness and you tell people you're walking in the light, then you're going to have to cover your sins and you're going to have to lie to others, lie to yourself, lie to God, and then you will eventually become a liar. So you lie because that's your character. And he says it's dangerous. Now, the second thing he says about this sin, keep in mind, this sin is there and it attacks all of God's people. It's not that God is shocked when one of his children commits sin. It's not that God has made provisions, and you can find it in this passage, to deal with that. The difficult thing is that when one of God's children sin, as he has already said we would sin, and then we go down this spiral of lying about it and pretending and rejecting and fault finding in somebody else with the inability to see it ourselves. We're covering our sins when we ought to be confessing our sins. He says in verse number 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse number 2, one in chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not, that you don't practice sin. You don't continue in sin. And if a man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, an advocate is the word advocate here is the same word we find in John about the Comforter. One called alongside. In other words, Jesus became a propitiation. The word propitiation you find in verse number 2, and he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The word propitiation literally means the satisfying of God's law. In other words, I broke God's law. And by the way, I broke God's law when I came into the world. I was born a sinner. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he became a propitiation for all of our sins. He satisfied the holy law, and the law says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So once and for all, as he speaks to the Christian, every Christian on the cross, Jesus Christ judged our sins, showed his love toward us by giving his son to become a propitiation, one who died and satisfied the holy law for us. He did that not only for us, but he did it for the whole world. Amen. But it didn't stop there. He became an advocate. Amen. He became one called alongside. In other words, he made provision that when I do stumble in sin, he's seated at the right hand of God and he is my advocate. I mean, it's a legal term that when someone goes to court, they take the lawyer who comes alongside. I mean, when the devil begins to accuse the Christian, we have an advocate in the Lord Jesus Christ as standing there on our behalf. What a blessing it is. And the problem is, it's finished at Calvary as far as the propitiation takes place, but his advocacy works all the time when I see it. But the point is, he says in verses number 9, if I confess, and by the way, that means a lot. And by the way, confession, here's what confession is not. Confession is not praying a lovely prayer. Confession is not trying to make excuses. Confession is not trying to impress God or others. Confession is naming and judging sin. It's calling sin what God calls it. And when that happens, God's faithful and God's just. Forgiveness is not cheap. Now, God's faithful for one reason, Calvary. Always faithful and just. But we need to get in the habit of confessing our sins, calling it what God calls it, not saying, Lord, if I sin. No. God, I have sinned. And call it what he already knows it is. It's amazing how many apologetic sins we confess to God. We apologize. Lord, if I did that. Lord, if I did that. Lord, if... No. Lord, I did this. God, forgive me for this. God, forgive me for lying. God, forgive me for cheating. God, forgive me for cussing. God, forgive me for drinking. God, forgive me for this and that and that, and be specific. He's faithful and just to forgive our sins. Sin is ever present. I can cover it by saying, if I say I'm this and I'm not, then I'm a liar. I'm lying. I'm literally covering my sins. The consequences is that my character is formed. You lie long enough, you'll be a good liar. Now, while I'm thinking about it, I know that I'm a preacher, right? I'm a pastor. I've been at this for 34 plus years. So I've met some liars. I know most of you haven't. You don't know any. And the last time you looked in the mirror, you certainly didn't see you having a problem. But you know what? It's not even shocking anymore how many Christian people lie. And by the way, you have to understand about God. It is not just the blatant, open lying that you tell me one thing and you don't do. It's we lie in our hearts. We lie about things. People lie to God and not even worry about. And a lot of people are more concerned about people finding them in a lie than where God's already found them. Now we could do like we ought to, and that is conquer sin. That's the purpose. God says, don't cover it. He says, confess it as sin, but I made it possible for you to conquer sin. Let's go back to verse number 3 in chapter number 2 and notice what he says. Here's how you conquer sin. Verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him. All right. Why? Because I sing, oh, I know Jesus. Talk and walk. How do I really show that I know him? Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Look at the structure of that verse. And hereby we do know We do know. By the way, you ought to tell yourself that. It ought to be, if you can't keep his commandments, don't try to convince yourself that you know him. We know him if we keep his commandments. He said, John knew something about this in John chapter 14, verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So here's the pattern he's saying about talking and walking, saying and doing. The evidence is, what do I do with what he says? I have to keep his commandments. Verse number 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Now look at the second thing he says here. That's so important about conquering sin. Obedience to his word. Secondly, observance of his ways. We look to Jesus for the kind of life we should live. Verse number 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Wow. I need to love like he loved. Forgive like he forgave. I need to understand. If I say that he's in me, and if I say that I'm walking in the light, that's the message. I declare unto you that God is light. In him is no darkness at all. If I declare that, if I've experienced that, if I've revealed, that's been revealed, I've accepted that, then how do I do it? I obey his word, and I observe every day of my life not to be like this person or that person or this person. I want in my life to be like him. I want to walk like he walks. Love like he loves. Give like he gave. Go like he went. Those are the things that show that I'm walking in the light. And let's keep in mind about this thing called sin that we're all tainted with every day. And by the way, people take sin so lightly. We really don't understand what it cost for God to forgive us. That's very costly. Amen. God had to give his only begotten son, who knew no sin, to become sin for us. And every time that we cover our sins, commit sins, we ought to think about what it cost Almighty God. God forgives sin. Thank God that he does. If you believe it's good, say amen. Aren't you glad God forgives? And God can and will clean up the record. I make a mistake, confess it to God. He's faithful and just to forgive me, clean up my mess. By the way, he's done it for all of us. But let's keep this one thing in mind. He will clean up the record of your mess. Past, present, and future. But every time you sin and he clean up the record, he doesn't change the results. You reap what you sow.
Amen.
I think if more of us understood that, just because God forgives me, which he does, because of Calvary, he's faithful and just, because he loves me, he cleans up my record. And I can stand up and say, yes, past, present, and future. I messed up last year. And I messed up, and God cleaned it up and forgave me of my sin. He did. But he didn't change the results that your sin caused. David is a good example of that. And anybody else in the Bible, just because he forgives, He doesn't change the results caused by sin. And by the way, any of us, we can practice, we can plan, we can surround ourselves with verses and all of that. That's not going to keep your old flesh from being what it is, wicked. The answer to defeating sin is walk in the light.
Amen.
As he is in the light.
Yes.
It's a constant thing. The more I walk in the light, try sometimes, keep your light on until that bulb burns out. That room won't get dark. That light, I don't care how dark it is outside. Keep the light on inside until the bulb burns out, and then it'll go out. But the great thing about this bulb, it never goes out. You walk in the light till Jesus comes back, because it gives us wonderful fellowship with